This sermon series is entitled Melting Cold Hearts. This first installment is called Starting With Me. Okay? Melting Cold Hearts, Starting With Me. And we need to go to the beginning of this discourse. This is one of the last preachings that Jesus gives before he goes to Calvary. And we need to understand that here he is giving them the keys to the kingdom, more or less. He's telling them, this is what's going to happen once I'm gone. Okay? And guess where we find ourselves? He's gone. But we know where he is, right? He's not lost. He's not forgotten. He's literally in heaven beseeching the Father on our behalf. Amen? So we have him here by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is what he tells us is going to happen after he leaves. So let us begin. Let us pick up in verse 4. And he says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many." That's where we're stopping. That's my first stop. Okay, I want us to understand something here, because you and I read this and we think in modern text that, okay, these people are going to come and they're going to say they're Jesus. That's not what he says. That is not what he says. Okay, he says they're going to come in my name. All right, that means there's going to be many people who come as Christians. There are going to be many people who come as Christians. They're going to say they're Christians. That is to be in his name, all right? That means they're doing what Jesus told them to do, right? Wrong chicken. Because you can say one thing and do another. How many of us have done that? None of us here are guilty of that, right? Well, that's what these people here are doing. These people here, this person here, these peoples here, because this has happened since the time of his leaving up until now. They are going to say, I am the Christ. What does it mean, I am the Christ? I feel like I've got the jitters. I'm telling you, I'm fired up today. They are the Christ. What does Christ mean? Christ means anointed one, okay? Christ means anointed one in the ancient Greek. That means the one who has come, the promised one, the one who has all the answers, the one who knows what's going to happen, the one who is the answer. How many of us hear Christ's all the time, on TV, every time a politician gets up there and starts talking about something? I'm the one who has the answers. I know what to do, and we got to have a plan for this, and we got to have a plan for that, and I have a plan. But they never tell us the plan. They just tell us they got one, that they have the answers. No, they don't. There are no scars on their hands. There's no piercing in their side. There's nothing on their forehead. They are not the Christ. They don't have the answers. For heaven's sakes, if you've learned anything from me up until this point, these people don't even know the right questions to ask. How many of us know the proper questions to ask? We don't until we find ourselves in the middle of stuff, and then all of a sudden we're filled with questions, aren't we? And then the questions that we do ask are personal questions, things that matter to me, things that make a difference to me. Well, what about the world scheme? Because if this person truly is the Christ, they're not worried about me. They're worried about everyone. And the reality is, when we see this and when we hear this, what Jesus is talking about here has happened since he has left and is going to continue to happen until he comes again. There are going to be many who say, I have all the answers. Come to me. Come to me. And what does it say is going to happen to them? And they will mislead many. We have to be careful to remain diligent to God's word, because if we're not, and we follow these people, even if we only follow them for a little while, what they are going to do is going to lead us to broken lives, okay? I want you to think about some of the political things that are being pandered out there right now. A socialist government, where the government will take care of you, okay? We sing the song, He Will Take Care of You, right? We know God's going to take care of us. Because he owns everything. He doesn't need anybody else's money because he's the one who created it all in the first place. He doesn't even need money. He can simply make whatever we need, when we need it, as we need it. Amen? But every politician needs somebody to foot the bill. Who do you think is going to foot the bill in a socialist society? The rich people? No, because in a socialist society, the rich people keep getting richer and the poor people keep getting poorer. Oh, but no, we know how to make it work. No, we don't. It has never worked in the history of humanity because people are involved. I think it's amazing because when we get to heaven, it is going to be a socialist society. We are all going to be equal. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. How many of us are going to have authority over everybody else? We will have authority for 1,000 years while we are reigning with Christ here on earth. But once eternity starts, I'm talking after the millennium, we will all be equal and God will be among us. And his grace and his mercy will flow to all of us in the same degree. True socialism. True perfection. And it only comes from a holy God, not sinful people. So you see, their utopian idea comes from someplace. Their utopian idea truly comes from the scripture. Their utopian idea is the fact that they think they are God, which means they own it all, so give it all to them. But that still means you have to work hard for them and take what they want to give you. And guess what God says he's going to give you? Everything. Everything that's his is yours. Who do you trust? Who are you going to believe? I am the Christ. But you see, God tells us just where things are going to go. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy. I shot right past it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Do you see how he starts out here? Everything goes to God. Everything goes to God because it is God's. All right? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to understand that God wants us to stick to the truth. Because the truth will set you free. Amen? We know God is going to bring into our lives a freedom that is far greater than the freedom that we have now in this world. The freedom that we have to operate in Christ. There's going to be a future freedom. But God wants us to experience some of that now. He wants us to understand that if we're to experience that, we have to preach the gospel. What does it mean to preach the gospel? Does that mean you have to get up here and do what I'm doing? No, absolutely not. For you to preach the gospel, it means to live as Christ in this world, to love people, all right? He says, he tells us here what we're supposed to do exactly. He says, but you, be sober in all things, endure hardship. How many of you are enduring hardship right now? If you're a human being, you're enduring hardship, people, all right? Life isn't easy. I don't know about you, but I'm not getting any younger. And it just gets harder and harder and harder. Charles just told me moments ago he wants to be a kid again. How old are you, Charles? Somebody please tell him he is a child. You ain't grown up yet, buddy. Hang on. You'll be all right. You will make it. We all are. All right? But we need to be sober. We need to see the reality. And guess what, Charles? You're seeing the reality. And it's tough, isn't it? It is. I remember when Russell had that very same conversation with me. How many of you have, your children have come to you and had that conversation? This is not fair. I laugh because I had that conversation. But we need to hold on. We need to hang on. We need to realize God is there. The Christ is there. His word is here. And we can trust him. I don't need to grasp at straws. I can hold to the truth and know my foundation is sure. But we have a work to do. And that work is to fulfill your ministry, to be evangelists in this world. What does that mean? Love God, love others, and go. It's that simple. All right? Do you love God? Then let your life show it. Sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs when you're in your car, when you're at your desk at work, when you're walking down the street. Okay? Love others. I'm going to tell you right now, some of the hardest things we're going to have to do is love people we don't like. And right now, this is what's happening in our world. I want you all to see that. Right now, there's a whole lot of people out there that hate us. We need to love them. We need to love them. We may not like them because of the things they're saying and the things they're doing. You all know me, and I'm going to put this out on the internet. There's a lot of people that I love. In fact, I love every person. You can come in here. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care what your beliefs are. You can come into this church, and I am going to love you. I may not like you at all, but I am going to love you because Christ loved me. I was in that same state of affairs. And he met me where I was and transformed me to where I am. That I can love people who are unlovable. And I want to love people who are unlovable. Because those people then are transformed by God, not me. Because that's God in me working. That is Christ. You see, folks, if we're working this out the right way, we truly, by our lives, are saying, and we love you too, Song. We are truly saying to one another, I am Christ. I want you to think about that. Our lives are saying it, not us. Our lives, because Christ is speaking it through us. And that's what we need to remember. Your life will speak truth. Who is truth? Jesus Christ. But God goes on. He does not want us to be misled. He does not want us to be ignorant of things. So from verse 6, back in Matthew 24, I'm going to read several verses here, 6 through 9 actually. He says, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. If you read that the way I read that, what is it saying? Hatred is going to increase. Hatred is going to get to the point where peoples can't stand other people groups and they're going to war with one another. How much of that have we seen since the time of Christ? It was on and on and on and on. Whether it's a Cold War, which we're having a Cold War with China right now. You know, we thought the Russian Cold War was bad. Welcome to the pandemic. Because I still say that it's part of that very Cold War. But when we think about what is happening, we are seeing sinful men doing what sinful men do. They bring hatred. They bring a division and all of that because the time has to increase. We have to see the increase of this sin. Why? Because Scripture tells us it's going to come. It's leading to something. What is it leading to? What's going on in our world? You know, how in the world can we put any of this into perspective? You know, it says here that they will deliver you into tribulation and will kill you, and we will be hated by all nations because of my name. Right now, Christians are more persecuted in the United States than they have ever been. We're nearly 250 years old. This is unprecedented time we live in. All right? We have not seen anything like this since the creation of this nation, in this nation. Because it was created as a religious entity. We were literally created based upon the very scriptures of God to the form of government that we now have with our Constitution. And I look at that and I think to myself, and these people want to throw away the Constitution, which gives us life and liberty and justice for all, and they want to turn it into something else. You and I have to get these things clear in our head that something truly is happening. What is happening? Turn in your Bibles to Romans 11 and 25. Romans 11 and 25. You see, God doesn't want us to be ignorant, so God tells us what's going on. We just have to be diligent in the Word of God to figure out what is going on. And it's so amazing to me because he puts it there for everyone to see, but it's only those who have eyes to see who will, and ears to hear who will. From verse 25, in the book of Romans, in the 11th chapter, we read these words. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, in this scripture, because I don't want to take things out of context, in this scripture here, the apostle Paul is speaking to the people of Rome about Israel and about the Gentile church. You see, we're ingrafted into the body of Abraham. We are ingrafted into Abraham. We are wild olive branches, as his word picture tells it, and we are grafted in to become a domesticated fruit. The fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, would then be the fruit of the olives growing upon us. And he wants us to understand that there's something coming. What is coming? The fullness of the Gentiles has to come in. And then Israel will be brought back to that right place. What is the fullness of the Gentiles? Well, when you look this up in the commentaries, every commentary since the beginning of time has said that this is the full number of the elect that are coming to God. When the full number of the elect has come in, then the end will come. Well, I agree with that, but I disagree with that. Okay? I agree because at that time, there will be no more coming in. So I guess technically, yes, it has reached its end. All right? However, if that's the case, does the scripture not tell us that there will be those in the tribulation who will not take the mark of the beast? So how can the full number of the Gentiles have come in if there's still more coming in? So it must be something else, unless I'm really being stupid in my theology, and I don't think I am. What is it? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, whenever it speaks of God bringing judgment upon a peoples, it says there that the fullness of their sin came in before the Lord. The fullness of their sin came in before the Lord. You see, back then, God dealt with the world as nations, people groups. But we are in the church age. There's only two people groups, believers and unbelievers. So when the fullness of the sin of the unbelievers finally reaches its apex, where it stinketh to heaven. Okay, read the Old Testament. That's literally what it says when it talks about the fullness. That is a stench that comes up and fills the Lord's nostrils, and he brings judgment. That stench is coming in. So that is the hatred that we are seeing. There's another place in the scripture where it talks about this, because it speaks to us about this in the book of Mark, and we're going to get there in just a little bit. But what we have to look at is we're talking about that fullness coming in, and we are achieving that fullness through this hatred, through this debauchery that is happening, and through the persecution that's going to come onto the church. But please let us remember what he tells us back here in the book. Oh, and I'll get to that in just a little bit, because that's in verse 13. I didn't get there yet. Well, then let's get there. How about that? Let's move on. Because again, we need to understand what is taking place. This has to happen. This is God's word telling us what's coming. Don't fear it. Embrace it. Remember, we have a work to do. Love God. Love others. And go. Amen. That's why I started where I did. But now let's get into the meat of this word. And I mean the real meat of this word. From verses 10 through 14. It says, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. All right? Are we there yet? No, we are not. Are we getting there? Yes. We are on the right path. How many of you feel like you're on the right path right now? That's because of all the stuff, and it's coming at us. And we have learned to internalize everything because of sin in our world. This is why I started today, the way I started today. You folks who were out there, I posed the question, what is ecclesia? What is church? What is sanctuary? Why are we here? Because if we don't grasp that sense of holy, every time we come together, we're not coming together as the church. We're coming together as a bunch of people who have something in common. That's not who I want to be. I want to be what this scripture is talking about right here, right now. This is where the rubber meets the road. Verse 10. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Right now, we are seeing this in households. In the book of Mark, chapter 13, I'm going to flip over there. The book of Mark, chapter 13, it says this, 13, 12 and 13. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Now, ladies, that includes you too. Remember, God's not politically correct. Praise his holy name. This is happening in our world today. Right now in China, they are literally having children tell on their parents and having parents arrested, beaten, some of them never to be seen again. What do you think is happening to them? Folks, this is happening in our world right now. It is getting to the point where if you're a Christian here and things are going on and your parents are doing things, read this stuff. You got to go on the internet to find real news today. Yeah, I hate to tell you that, but CNN is not news. It's fake news. So is the rest of everything else that is out there. All of it has a bent, and the bent is definitely not a section of truth. We need to understand they're promoting their agenda. And it's been being pointed out. How many of you are seeing truth every time you watch TV now? I see truth every time I watch TV, because all I got to do is watch TV and I can see the lies. So I know the opposite must really be true. I mean, it's the easiest way for me to tell what's going on. Look at what they're saying. believe the opposite. Because that's the truth. I mean, we're being called bigots. We're being called hate mongers. We're being told that conservative Christians is a hate group. Love God, love others, and go. And we're a hate group. Because we want you to change from sin. We want you to lay down and pick up your cross and follow Christ daily. We're haters. Oh, well, you think abortion's wrong. Yeah, you're killing babies. And we can go down that line as far as we want, can't we? We need to remember they're going to come against us. And family is going to turn against family because it's all about an ideology. Promises made, never kept. That's what an ideology is. But you see, God's word endureth forever. I think it's amazing. Go up to a politician and ask him to write down what he's going to do. That you can hold him to it in black and white. Guess who did that very thing? God, and God alone. He wrote it down with his blood. And you and I need to remember that. It's the only truth there is. And it cost God everything. Don't give up well-doing. But continue to the end, and you shall receive a harvest. Oh, man, what a promise. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't end there. I have 5 minutes and 21 seconds. He says, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. I've already spoken about that. These are the people who are saying, I am the Christ. I have all the answers. And they're out there pontificating, and they're bringing all this mysticism. And boy, I could say that real quick, couldn't I? All this mysticism and all this other stuff. And I mean, it's full of them out there. It is full of them out there. All you have to do is turn on the television and you can see mystics. They all have the answers. Folks, they don't even know the questions. All they know is wanting to make self look good. So I got to make somebody else look worse than me so I'm the new norm. Isn't that what's happening in our world? We need to understand, God does not, you know, mince words here. These false prophets are going to tell people what their itching ears long to hear. We already looked at that, right? So we're going to move on because we're seeing this exponentially today. Number 12 is where we're going to start melting cold hearts. Because it says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Now we got to get serious. Because every time God gives a word to the church or to his people, where does it have to be appropriated first? Right here. It's why I started today the way we did. It's why I opened the way we opened. Are we being serious about who we are? Brother Wendell started this weeks ago. And then I built on it, and David built on it, and here we are again. See what you started, Wendell? It was a good thing. Man, you jumped me right into the future here. And I thank God for it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we don't remember, we're going to forget. And when we forget, we're going to get cold, hard hearts. We're going to keep coming to church because we love these people. But how many of us when we're out there, I'm guilty of this, all right? I'm guilty of this. How many of us when we're out there and we're driving to Walmart, I hate driving to Walmart. How many of us, when we're driving to Harbor Freight, I hate Harbor Freight. I spend money every time I go there. How many of you, when you're driving to a friend's house, get upset because somebody did something stupid in front of you and you lose your cool just for an instant? Or how many of you wives, your husband says something and you just, because you had a bad day. He didn't mean what you heard. Never been there. You know, I think it's funny. Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. We speak two different languages, okay? But it's you get what I mean, don't you? And when we come in from outside, we are so scarred from what has been going on in this world. We carry it right in here. And, well, I didn't like that song today. Boy, Pastor was a little long-winded. Oh, my gosh, we ought to have more traditional hymns. Where's the Bible readings? Well, that prayer went pretty long today. Am I speaking out of turn? The world affects us because we are flesh. Spiritually, we are no longer of this world, but physically, we're stuck in it. We need to remember that the first heart that needs to melt is our own. We need to take up the cross of Christ every day, in every way. And it's hard. It's not easy, is it, Riley? I read your post. I'm proud of you. It's gonna hurt, sweetie. It's gonna hurt. Life sucks sometimes. But it gets better. And that is a promise you can take to the eternal bank. We all know the hurts that each and every one of us have had. But those hurts do not have to define who we are. We, through Christ Jesus, get to allow him to define us. And he has said we are heirs to the kingdom. We are children of God. We are an eternal being. We are saved. We are chosen. We are promised. Man, we need to hold on to that every day. And when we get together on Sundays, when you come into our sanctuary, this is sanctuary. When you come into Ecclesia, we are in the presence of God. And we need to act like it. But not just here, but when we go out into this world. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be tough. You know, Monday, you're probably doing all right. Yeah, we're... Boy, Sunday was good, and oh, it was great. But come Wednesday, you're probably chugging along like, oh, man, what did the preacher say? Come Saturday night, you're like, oh, man, I got to get up in the morning for church. But praise God, you do. Because you get rejuvenated. But when you walk through those doors, take the flesh off. Let it outside. Don't let Satan rob your joy. Amen. Because the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, surpasseth all understanding. Brothers and sisters, the first hearts that we need to melt is our very own. And then we can begin to reach out to the world, because that's what we're supposed to do. Because he says here that this gospel will be preached into all the world, to all nations, and then the end will come. Brothers and sisters, we have a short time. We can see what's happening. Next time we get together, we're going to hear just how short a time is, because he's telling us about the seasons, and you can tell what's coming by what's happening in the world, and we're going to see just where we are. But we need to understand right now, this is our time. The time is short, and we have got to live holy lives. We have got to allow Christ to speak through us. I am the Christ. Not that we are the Christ, but that he is, and then we're pointing to them. Do you see how this first point ties with this last point? Because it is those of us whose hearts are not growing cold, and our hearts are growing cold because the world is making them that way. But we have got to cast it off and pick up our cross and follow him daily. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. Amen. I pray you can. I pray you will. Lay down your burdens. You know, we sing it. I didn't want to sing it today. I cast all my cares upon you. How many of us sing that song when we're down? Remember, worship is the heart of God. So when you're down, what's the word tell us? Think on good things, noble things. Sing psalms and spiritual songs unto the Lord. Amen. Let him lift you up. For he who endureth to the end shall be saved. Today, if that's you, I want you to pray with us right now. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you. And right now, even now, Lord, we know that there's people here in the congregation. There are people out there on the internet, on Facebook, however we're being connected, that want to know you, that are longing to be set free, that simply need that reoccurrence of love in their lives because they had it once and now something seems to be in the way. Lord, that thing is sin in our world, not necessarily our own, but it hardens us. So, Father, we pray that you would bless the hearers. And, Lord, right now, if there are those out there who need to know you, Father, would they pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my life. Raise me up. Make me your own. I claim you as my Savior. Give me life and give me the hope of life. For I give to you all my filthy rags, and in return, you give me the riches of glory. I deserve it not, but I accept the gift, and I love the giver. Now change me and make me whole. And holy thine. Glory be to your name, O Lord, for we come to you knowing that the first heart that has to be melted is our very own. In the love of Christ, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.